The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. This is the appointed reading for this third Sunday of Advent. Listen. And Mary said, "I'm bursting with the good news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. And God, whose very name is holy, set me apart from all others because his mercy flows in wave after wave on all those who stand in awe of him. God bared his arm and showed his strength and scattered the bluffing ones. He knocked the tyrants off their high horses. He pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor, he sat down at a banquet. The callous rich, they were left out in the cold. He embraced the children and his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what God has promised, beginning with Abraham, right up until now." Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that in these moments, you would give us what we need to hear this third Sunday of Advent as we anticipate the holiday to come and the year ahead. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mary is brought out every single year, just like our Mary here in our Christ scene. And for many Protestants, we're often a little uncomfortable with Mary. You know, we'll bring her out and place her in a manger scene. We'll read texts of Scripture that are all about her. And then as soon as the holiday is over, Mary goes back into her box. And she's put away again for a year. Now, in other traditions, not just the Roman Catholic Church, but other Orthodox traditions, have sort of a different view of the saints, a different view of spirituality, and the Protestants reacted against that in what we call the Reformation, the 500th year of the Reformation, when Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and others began to point people not just away from an over-attention, they thought, to the saints of the church. Rather, they didn't mean to put them down. Instead, they tried to do a recalibration of focus on Christ alone. And if we focus on Christ alone, Scripture alone, faith alone, then it's probably item number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 20, 30 down the line when we can start making room in our life for an understanding of what the people who came before us, who pointed us toward Jesus, we could kind of put additional energy and focus on them. But if Christ is first and Scripture is central and faith is essential, then what room does the Protestant church have for an over-attention to someone like Mary? Well, that's why I'm glad this year, this is the reading. Now, in our story, Mary has already had a visit from Gabriel, and she has learned that she is going to give birth to a child. Unexpected news. And Mary receives the word, not just sort of at face value. She has some conversation with Gabriel, asking some very important questions. You know, sometimes things occur to us, experiences occur to us, and we almost say, "Okay, fine, God. I'll just do it." But God can kind of handle our questions. It's not an affront to our sense of God's presence in our life to question what God is doing. It's not a problem for us to contemplate and give serious thought, to confer with friends and family members about important things in our life. It's important for us to pay attention to what God is doing in the world, because we know that when Cold Spring Church was started 303 years ago, they did not bring God to the community. God did not arrive on a little Presbyterian horse and buggy and it ended up here in Cold Spring and say, oh, we finally brought God here out to the wanderlands, you know, all the rough rural spaces. God is active all over the world, and what the Presbyterians did for our community of faith was simply to recognize that God is doing something here, and God, we want to go where God is doing it. We sense God's presence everywhere. There are people there that sense God's presence. We want to be a part of it. And so this story this morning, Mary now offers this prayer. We often call it the Magnificat. It's because she gives praise to God. She calls God, oh, I have a Savior too. Thank you, God, for choosing me. Thank you for putting me in this situation. Thank you for blessing me. And thank you that this is such an important thing. She had no idea what was to come. But in her faith, questioning God, understanding, wrestling with the issues, she decided to stick to the plan. And so we give her great credit. But the church has been often reluctant to have a place for Mary. But Mary is here. The Isaiah passages, the Thessalonians passage reminds us that God has put us here as a reminder that God loves all of us. There's a news report that Melissa and I heard on television this morning recounting a person's comment going to a church in Philadelphia, and the statement was, I'm not made to feel welcome there. Now, I don't know what that person's self-understanding was, that person wasn't made to feel welcome, but imagine that. I was not made to feel welcome there. I almost wanted to just sort of to reach through and just reach out and say, well, come on down to Cold Spring Church, because we'd welcome you here. I don't care what it is. You like to wear a tie to worship? That's wonderful. Come on down. You'd like to come casual? Flip-flops when season permitting? That's wonderful. You come on down. You have like a view of God that might be a little different than mine? Come on down. That is perfectly all right. You know, our cemetery, yesterday at the Wreaths for America, it was cool, and I reminded probably 100 or more. I don't know if anybody did a count, but Rob, did you do a count?
No, I did about 100.
Yeah, about 100. The people here, I reminded them that this cemetery is for everybody. It's even on the website, non-sectarian. You know, we're happy to honor your family's story and to receive the remains of a loved one so that you could return here to keep retelling that story for you and your family. And this church is the same way. This church, even in its design, even in its plain architecture, even in the simple beauty of this room, and even the singular brilliance of our chandelier, lets people know that we're not trying to be a church of pretense. That we're instead just ordinary people. And I hope that none of you would leave today saying, oh man, I just sure wish Cold Spring Church was more accepting of me. And you know what? If you feel that way, I hope that you'll let me know. I hope you'll let Rob know, or one of our other members of our leadership team, or one of our caring team, or even just someone near you. Because we don't want to let that stand. If God loves all of us, then none of us should feel unwelcome. You know, in the news lately, growing up, I suppose, we sort of almost had a maxim. You know, if you're in politics, or you're a Hollywood mogul, or some industrial corporate magnate of some kind, that you never have to make excuses and you never have to apologize. Well, thankfully, maybe those days are over. And as we've seen just sort of our nation just become overly aware of the grievous injustice that men have done toward women, that all of us, as a man, take responsibility for what I have done, for all of us to take responsibility for the inadvertent, unintentioned ways that we have not shown respect or not extended justice or not extended the hand of welcome. And women too. All of us together recognize with Mary that God has received everyone and given all of us a place in the story. That all of us need to know that God is a God who says, you know what? All of us can do better. And the irony, if it weren't true, is that Jesus, we learn from the Apostle Paul, that Jesus who knew no sin became sin for us. Now we remember in this story, Mary gave birth to Jesus, fully human, right? He was a real person. Anybody want to offer? There's different people around the world probably have different points of view on that. But here today, would you say Jesus was fully human? Yes? And we would say that he was also fully God. So that means that being human isn't an excuse for any of our bad behaviors. Because Jesus was fully human. Now, when I actually think about that, I don't like that. I like having excuses. You know, I like being late to a meeting because my car broke down. I don't like being late for a meeting because I didn't plan right. Or I was dishonoring the person I was meeting with, so I said, oh, I'll take my time, they'll wait. You know, I'll get there eventually. I'll have an excuse. Oh my gosh, will my car break down? Okay. No, these days are over. But here's the news that as I've been reflecting on this, this is not new news. But when you look at the most recent news and the most recent kinds of memes that have been floating around over the last month or two, with all of the calling to account, all of the confessions, the not confessions, the apologies, the non-apologies, as we try to sense in our community a struggle with trying to treat everybody with respect, the church should be leading the way. And yet here we have a passage that I read the scripture where these words were spoken a really long time ago. And yet it sounds like they could have been written in a response to the latest news headline. Mary is a person that I think speaks to the church today. I think Mary speaks to the church today because Mary, you know, Mary might have been one of those ladies at the high school that your mom would have said, she's trash. You know, Mary might have been that kind of person that your grandma would have said, you're dating who? She's what? How could you? Joseph. Look at Joseph. Now, he had a trade. He was a carpenter. Some of you are carpenters. Some of you do a better job at hammering stuff than I do. Joseph and Mary were pledged to be married, and we know in the Jewish customs, that's a long thing. I mean, you don't do like a week. There's no Las Vegas honeymoons, you know, and marriage things going on back in that day. And so Joseph and Mary were pledged for the longest of times. The families are getting ready. Weddings are a huge deal. And remember, Joseph had to get a special message in a dream that he wouldn't walk away from her, like so many of us possibly, reasonably, would do. We sit down with Granddad. Granddad, what should I do? Get rid of her. She's no good. Well, somehow, Granddad would have been wrong. And our congregation of faith is made up with people, not just imperfect people, not, oh, we're human. No, our standard is Jesus, and every day we have an opportunity to realign our life with the kinds of words we hear from Mary. But it goes deeper than just Mary. The brief statement of faith, it's in our book of confessions, along with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and a number of the other creeds, says this. It says, in a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to unmask idolatries in church and in culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. You see, the Christmas story that we hear from Mary and from the pages of Scripture today, from the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was a gospel that was moved to talk a lot about women, a lot about the Holy Spirit. We have in the Gospel of Luke, for example, the genealogy of Mary. Gospel of Matthew has focused on the genealogy of Joseph. But here in this story, we see the church invited to faithfully wrestle with the issues of the day, because it's not being courageous in church and in culture, it's we have a commitment to being courageous and to live for justice in the church, which is in culture. We're not separate from culture. We're all in our culture. But so that's why I say we are a community of faith within the community at large. It's the same community. And so Cold Spring Church has opportunities. For example, to relieve the freedom of those who are oppressed. And there's lots of kind of oppression that people can feel. It can be an emotional oppression. It could be the kind of oppression from bills where you don't know where you're going to pay the next bill. It could be a kind of oppression from an abusive relationship that you're in. It could be the kind of a situation where we just feel weighted down with the burdens of life. It may not be you, but it might have been you before. It may be you in the future. And so our church is not immune to these kinds of things. We have an opportunity to reach out. So we receive food. We participate in community events. We invite the congregation to respond to needs and to let people know there's a place of hope. And also for injustice, there's opportunities for all of us during the week to stand for the plight of those who have experienced injustice. Those who are burdened by addictions, those who suffer from all sorts of different ailments, whether they're young children in children's hospital or they're a senior, possibly on life support in a home down the road, that we have an opportunity, like Mary reminds us, to lift up praise to God and to acknowledge, God, you're using even me? Thank you for that. And I have no idea what's coming next, but thank you for being with me in it. I'm so glad that our session has decided to respond in our small way to the opioid epidemic that's just devastating South Jersey. And we're going to have an opioid information awareness training, addictions training, here at the last Monday in January. It's a partnership with Rutgers University. It's open to the public, and be registration, 25 can come. But it's just a way for us to gain some awareness on things that affect our community. And it's not just us serving others, but we have so much to learn from them. You know, I have so much to learn from the children that come. We have so much to learn from the music that is sung, from the interactions we have with our neighbors. It just can't be about us anymore. And Martin Luther and John Calvin and all the rest, they knew, please focus on Christ, they said. Focus on Christ. The most important thing, just focus on Christ. But let's not forget the testimony of the saints. Let's not remember the grandparents and the great-grandparents, the generations that preceded us. Let's not forget to listen to their voices too. And let's listen to their words. A new thing, what new thing might God be bringing to us if we would just open our arms and say, God, what do you got for me? Like Mary, I stand, wow, totally just blown away that you'd use even me. I'm so imperfect. But what could you do with me? And how could I learn from others? Here are the words that Mary invites us to consider this morning. Courage. Compassion, justice, relationship, hope, and love. Mary said, his mercy flows in wave after wave, and those who are in awe before him. He has embraced the children and remembered and piled up mercies and piled them high. This is exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham, right up until now. Let us pray. As we spend just a moment in reflection, think about courage, compassion, justice, relationships, forgiveness, hope, and love. Amen.